portion here for the message tonight. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus calls his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from afar. And his disciples answered him, for whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves and gave thanks and brake, and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. And so they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, seven baskets. Incredible. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them. Pretty amazing, isn't it? One of the few times you see the Lord just leaves. Yeah. And entered into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. We're all kind of dumb, aren't we? We don't, yeah. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye yet your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? When I break the five loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said unto him, 12. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for what we've heard in testimony in the ministry in Venezuela. Boy, our hearts have been touched. Lord, we pray now as we look into the word. Lord, you challenge us, speak to us. Bring to our attention the need of this world, the need of this valley, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit might speak tonight through the preaching of the word. Lord, give me that unction from the Holy Spirit to preach, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, all week we've been speaking about faith. And we've been preaching, it's been mentioned, and we talk about being all in for faith. But what about its counterpart? Unbelief. The Word of God tells us Jesus did no miracles in Nazareth because of their unbelief. Without a doubt, unbelief hinders God and what He wants to do and what He has in store for every one of us. And say, well, I don't have that problem, preacher. Just bear with me. In Matthew 17, Jesus scolds the 12 disciples for their unbelief. Peter tells the Jews they will not enter into God's rest in Hebrews 4 because of their unbelief. And listen to this, in Revelation 21, the Bible says, unbelievers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. We could say that our Lord spent the greatest deal of his earthly ministry with those disciples trying to instill into them about faith and getting out of them unbelief. Paul says in Hebrews 3:12, he says, take heed, brethren. In other words, listen to this. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And then in the next verse after that, he says, but exhort one another daily. In other words, that's what's good about revivals, missions, conferences. We get pounded with the word every day, because it takes a lot of preaching to root out unbelief. That's why, you know, your pastor didn't say, well, we're going to have a faith promise offering and just have one service and have the faith promise offering. Probably isn't going to work too well. We need preaching to root out unbelief. Yeah. So unbelief, you say, preacher, that means that can happen to me? Yeah. Unbelief can enter into anybody's heart if you know the Lord. But unbelief is evil. That's what he says. An evil heart of unbelief, you know. Unbelief is often manifested in people who start maybe missing church, falling by the wayside, holding back their tithe. Just little things like that are giving evidences that that old thing of unbelief is starting to creep in. And so here our Lord confronts his disciples with this very issue. In fact, he appears troubled, as we just read there, by their unbelief after all they've seen and experienced over the last few days. He says, don't you get it? I mean, I don't understand how you can understand. Now, in truth, tonight we're going to look at a couple things. There's two different groups that fall into the category of unbelief. He said, I thought unbelief is unbelief. Well, there's two categories of unbelief that I think you need to see. And the Lord's response to those two groups is extremely different. And I hope by the grace of God we get done tonight that all of us are going to not only extend our faith, but we're not going to want to fall into that one category that I'm going to talk about here in a minute. And you say, well, doesn't the Lord care for everybody? Yeah, but he responds to a certain form of unbelief in a way you would not, it may shock you tonight. Let me put it this way. You know, there's a type of unbelief that it's a waste of time. This may shock you tonight. It's a waste of time to spend too much time with those kind of people. The ground is so hard. You ever tried to, not in Western Washington too much. You ever tried digging ground that's been dry and it's cracking? It's pretty hard stuff. I mean, you may get somewhere, but understand there's a place, there's a warning here of unbelief that Jesus talks about that will hinder the work of God in your life. And none of us want to be to that place. Amen. And the first group that I'm talking about have to do with sign seekers. Look in verse 10. And straightway entered into a ship with his disciples and came to the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven. Notice the little words there, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them. Now notice, we right away see, this is the Pharisees. We talked a little bit about Pharisees last night. But when I ask you this question, why do they want a sign? They want some information? They want to learn something from the Lord? Do they want fire down from heaven? They want the Sea of Galilee waters divided? Listen to me, if Jesus did that, it wouldn't change their attitude one bit. People say, well, if Jesus came down and stood before me, I'd believe in him. Hogwash. You said that because you don't want to believe in him. See, the sign they wanted was not to be edifying to them. It says they were tempting him. They were actually there to discredit him. That's what it was about. Now, Gideon, he sought a sign. But Gideon wanted to hear from the Lord. He wanted verification from God so he could step out in faith. God will bless that kind of thing. But these kind of, they aren't wanting a real sign. And this type of spirit causes the Lord Jesus to sigh deeply. As the Bible describes, the potter, the clay doesn't say to the potter, "Why have you made me thus?" If a person really wants a real sign and wants a real direction from God, he basically gives his life to God and said, "Lord, mold me." This is not what these guys are about. Jesus told these same Pharisees in John 5, he says, "And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." That's what's going on here. So where are you going with this, preacher? Just bear with me. And so notice how Jesus responds to this sign seeking. No sign, and he leaves.
Yeah.
And we may think, well, don't they deserve a response? Maybe just a little small sign. I mean, shouldn't the Lord defend his reputation? I've always heard people say stuff like that, you know. Listen to me. Our Lord will not waste one second with willful unbelief.
You
say, why not? Why won't he waste any time with that kind of unbelief? I mean, to try to discredit it. The Lord doesn't have to prove himself to anybody. Listen to me, there's too many others in need that want to hear. My heart's broken when I saw some of this stuff. Those people are, you think, they don't just food on the table, they want spiritual food on the table. That's awesome. And let me say, I've been caught up in this where Satan will suck up my time on people that are hard and don't want to hear. Anybody have been caught up in that where you just keep working on them and the guy next door that needs to hear you hadn't even taken the time with, you know? Maybe my greatest weakness is taking too much time on Pharisees, you know? Yeah. You say, well, this seems harsh. Everybody needs the Lord. You're right. When I reach all those that want to hear, then I'll go back and deal with those people. Okay? You know? Listen to me. There's people that are in unbelief, but they're in ignorance.
Yeah.
And they need to hear. And they need to find the tender care of God. And we're commanded to go to them because they're open. They're uninformed. They're searching. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar the king got saved in Daniel 4 of all people. Because he was ignorant in unbelief. Daniel had witnessed to him many times and God worked on him. Paul was sincere, but he was sincerely lost. And the Lord reached out to him because he was in ignorance and even admits it. See, these sign seekers are in rebellion to signs. It's like a driver that goes down the road and ignores the speed limit signs. And none of you do that, okay? Goes to Genesis 3 when Satan says, "Hath God said?" Well, that's what this attitude is. The second indicator of unbelief is corruption. Look in verse 14. I'm getting somewhere. Just bear with me on this. "Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." After Jesus leaves the Pharisees high and dry, then he instructs his disciples. He says, beware! These kind of people are dangerous. Homer Kent said this, interesting, he said, "In all the New Testament uses of leaven as a symbol, it depicts an evil influence. The leaven of the Pharisees would seem to be a reference to their emphasis on conformity to tradition and ritual, which was merely a hypocritical cover for their unbelief." And it's leaven. It's corrupting. This influence affects others. The Lord Jesus is saying, we're familiar with this term, quarantine. Stay away from these people. the Pharisees and Herod were all about power and acclaim. They had nothing to do with faith. Unbelief was rooted in their hearts, embedded in their hearts. Now, you're going to see where I'm going here. Their interest was solely secular. Now, everybody hang with me here. I know I've got some details here. They had no spiritual interests at all. It would interfere with their position, and so they had willful unbelief. Anything with that kind of influence needs to be avoided. Our government of the United States is now solely secular. So opposed to anything that's Bible or Christian. And this past week, more and more stuff's coming on. Why are they opposed to that? Because that gives power to God and freedom to man. It's secular. It's all about money, power, entertainment, immorality. Government, any reference to the Bible or anything to do with God, they want it out of here. Now, that's not encouraging to us, but I'm saying, in government, we have a lot of people like this that are willful in unbelief. I've talked about that the other day. I mean, I believe they're demon-possessed. I really do. There's several like that. And so Jesus tells us to avoid some people. Where does this have to do with missions? Just hang with me, okay? I need to get six people up here. A couple of you want to help me? Okay, and... Bradley, right? Okay, Bradley. And, you want to help me here? Okay, you can come help. And need a couple of big guys, too, man. Yeah, you can come help. And right next to him, okay? That'll give me the six I need, okay? There we go. Okay. Okay, we got various sizes here. Okay. You're Bradley, right? Bradley, you're going to... Okay, Bradley, why don't you come over here? You're going to represent us. Okay? Okay, now we have to... What's your name?
Ty.
Ty. Okay, now we're going to have to really have imagination. He's going to represent God, okay? Okay. Here, Ty, why don't you stand over here? Okay, now you other four here. Okay, I want you over here. Grab something here. Okay. Now you guys kind of getting a single file right here in front of Bradley. Bradley, you stay over there. Okay. Okay, now you turn this way. You're government. Everybody, boo. Okay. 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 Now, your schools, public schools. Okay. Okay, you're the media. And some of our professional sports right here.
Oh, nice.
Now, you guys turn around and face Bradley. Now, Bradley's trying to get to God. And all this stuff, let's try to look around him. You guys get in the way. Keep getting in the way, okay? Come on, just try to get around and keep getting in the way.
That's good.
We need to keep our vision on the Lord.
Amen.
But we allow a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. Well, how about that?
And I'm not against government.
Yeah, amen.
But sometimes we fill our minds too much with it.
Yep.
We need to be filling our minds with the Lord.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just got to break through some of this junk and put it out of our way. Because it's interfering with our faith.
That's right.
Okay, guys, thank you very much. It's a dangerous thing to allow that stuff become a major part of your life. Because it interferes. Remember, they're opposed.
Right.
They're in willful unbelief and they're opposed to your faith. And so we got to be alerted to this influence. That's why the Lord says, hey, look out for this corruption. And so then he comes back to the disciples and deals with their unbelief. Now that's what I'm going to get to tonight. Verse 16. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have no bread." And when Jesus knew it, he said to them, "Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened?" Uh-oh. Their heart's gotten hardened. "Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember when I break the 5 loaves among 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments took ye up?" They said, 12. "And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up?" They said, 7. Listen to me. The danger we face, and I believe this addresses us. I hope none of us fits in that other categories of unbelief, is becoming spiritually handicapped. Jesus leaves the Pharisees in their unbelief, but he goes after the disciples. The disciples were so worried about the shortage of bread. Think about it. Jesus is saying, "Why are you guys worried about physical bread? Did we not just take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 20-some thousand people? Did we not take 7 loaves and some fishes and feed 4,000 men besides women and children?" I mean, I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah.
He says, "Don't you understand? Can't you trust God?
Yeah.
Are you so worried about, why are you always worried about these trivial things?
Yeah.
Why don't you start trusting me?" He's saying.
That's good.
If we think about it, Jesus only mentions the loaves. Doesn't even mention what he did with the 2 fishes. Okay? See, some believers are spiritually handicapped. I don't think it's probably no one here, but there's other ones out there. Okay? We're often so fearful of God's ability to supply as we face challenges in life, and so we become spiritually handicapped. We're being challenged this week for missions, and I'm being challenged too. Our conference is a couple months. I'm going to, by then, hopefully the Lord will really get a hold of me. And we get so, Biden administration is coming. What's going to happen? I don't know if I'd be given to missions. I may be starving for food, just like the people in Venezuela.
Yeah.
Our eyes and ears, sad to say, for many believers, are used only to put on their hats and hold their glasses up.
Wow.
It's not even considered that God might have anything to do with the issues that we're facing. It's like the Heavenly Father doesn't care about his kids.
Help us.
Whether it's your job, your neighborhood, I mean, God put us here, each one of us here, in your place, in your time in history, that you could have faith in God and serve God here. Now let me say, the Venezuelan people are suffering, but they're in the, that God put them there to reach their world in the same position. No different than you and I, we have the same God, and God will supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We can't let our unbelief overtake us. When you think of faith promise missions, sad to say, many start calculating, well, let's see, last year I gave this much, and my job, I'm making this much now, and boy, there's some other things coming up, and our house payment's this, and they start calculating it. That's not faith. Say, well, you're making it dangerous for me to meet my budget. I'm just wanting you to listen to God.
Amen.
Quit making yourself spiritually handicapped because you're doing all these weird calculations. I'm nothing against budgeting, but when it comes to God and whatever he says, then I know he'll take care of the rest.
Amen.
See, people are handicapped not because in this thing, not because they've had an accident, but because they made wrong choices. It's true that we only learn about half of the lessons we get from experiences. Just how we are. And the disciples, it's almost humorous. You laugh. I mean, the second one just happened where they fed all these multitudes and they already forgot about it, you know. And they're no different than you and I. But the Lord is trying to help us draw closer to Him. And He wants to bless us. He wants to open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. But it's not going to come unless we listen to Him and step out in faith. Several years ago, this family's, since they're down in, sweet families in our church, but several years ago they had a financial difficulty arise, and they'd been kind of dumb with their money. They called me and said, they were faithful in their tithing and their missions. And he worked, hard-working man, and he said, Pastor, he says, we've really been stupid. He says, we've run up a bunch of credit cards, and we're $15,000 in the red. And we've talked about selling one of our vehicles or they're starting to look at all the human ways they might fix it. And I said, Steve, you've been faithful in your tithe and in your missions. I said, yeah, you did a dumb move. You guys were really stupid on that. People do that. I said, but you've had a red flag come up and some warnings. I said, before we do anything rash, we get on our knees, let's be praying this week. And we prayed there and then prayed throughout the week. And I said, God will do something to take care of this. Just remember what you've done and never do this again. He goes, oh, we tore up our credit cards and we're just trying to pay the minimum and figuring out how we're going to pay this. So he's working as a mason and they're working on this big house. Our valley is full of millionaires. They love our valley. They'll visit the park and they move there. Sports stars. We got movie stars. Anyway, our valley's full of these people. But they were working on this big fancy house. This guy that was some multimillionaire had five homes around the world. And he lived most of the time at this one. And he was, and to help you understand how big it was, they were working on the firebox for where the wood goes. And you could stand up in it, just the firebox. And they also built this 1,800 square foot home for the caretaker because they're not there very often. And so anyway, Steve was working with this mason job with this guy, and he's just working for the guy. And this owner comes up to Steve. He said, "Steve, can I talk to you for a minute?" He goes, "Yeah, sure." And the boss said, "Yeah, go talk to him." So he went and talked to him, and he says, "I've been watching you. I see you're honest. You're a Christian." He says, I need someone to be the caretaker here. Would you be willing for you and your family to move into our caretaker's home? Understand, they had imported, the deck was made with imported rock from Australia. This was the caretaker's home. And he said, now I want you to understand, you won't have a lot of obligations. It's a gated house, gated community, big, right on the... on this river, beautiful spot. He had a biggest collection of fish books in the world. He had a library as big as this. And he says, all I want you to do is just live here. He says, if you'd mow the lawn, that'd be great. And so from then on, they had debt free. They had a place to live. God took care of that. Paid their cars off, paid off their debts, and had money in the bank, you know. Now, I'm not saying you want to go out and blow a bunch of money, get in debt with credit cards. But what I'm trying to help you understand is God will take care of you. And even when we do dumb things, if you're faithful and listen to what God says about stepping out in faith. Amen. Listen to me. The truth is God has brought us all through amazing things, just like he did with the disciples. Yet like the disciples, I think our Lord often gets puzzled with us. Yes. And as he challenges about something, and we are afraid to step out, and the Lord's puzzled, said, "Don't you understand?
Yeah,
haven't you seen what I've done in the past?"
Yeah, amen.
See, unbelief has kept us many times in knots, unable to go forward with the Lord. There's a song our quartet's working on right now. I love this song. It says, "Just another mile and I could be called up to glory. Just another cloud could move and Jesus would appear. This world is not my home. There's a better time and place. Just another mile and I could see his face. It's harder now. There are just a few who walk this narrow way. Our enemies are strong on either side." Listen to this. "But faith has grown within me. And I hear my Father say, 'You're almost home, my child, my weary child.'" Wouldn't it be great you do what the Lord wants this week and make that step of faith and make an impact on the world, and then maybe a few months down the line the trumpet sounds and we all get out of here. And you did what the Lord wanted you to do. See, faith promise, as I've been saying all week, is an opportunity for you to build your faith. I was caught in a current in Fiji one time, snorkeling with my son-in-law, and he had just went back in, and we had the timing wrong for when the tide was going back out somehow. Anyway, so he went on, and I said, "I'm going to snorkel a little bit longer," and suddenly the tide changed. And I'm out there, and I'm only maybe 100 yards from the shore, and he's up there just watching me, and I'm paddling with all my might, you know. I'm kicking those flippers. I'm using every bit of strength I have, and I'm not gaining one spot. Using 100% of my energies, and I'm still hanging in there. And I turn on my back. I'm trying to breathe, get some air, just keep paddling. As soon as I stop, I'm going out to sea, you know. And I was waving and yelling at my son-in-law, but he couldn't hear me, the waves and everything, the water. And finally, it took me a while to get my senses. I said, "Lord, help me." I'm laughing now, but I was not laughing then. I said, "Lord, help me." And the Lord just said, "Just turn a little to the side." And I said, "Okay." I just turned a little to the side. So I went a little to the side, and notice I started gaining ground. Later, my son-in-law told me that's what you're supposed to do, is go to the side. I didn't know that. And I kept moving inching, and finally I got up and got my feet planted, and the current's really pulling now. I mean, the tide's going out, and I'm struggling. I get up, and I get to the shore and fall flat on my face in front of me. He goes, "What's wrong?" What are you saying, preacher? Maybe you're not like me. I go through all the efforts and expend my strength stupidly. Am I supposed to say stupidly? Okay. And then after I've done that, then I call on the Lord. Instead of immediately seeking the Lord. You should have been seeking the Lord from day one of this conference. Maybe you've waited till now, but okay, you're going out to sea. It's time to seek the Lord. Okay, you know. Faith promise is extending ourselves further than even seems practical, really. What I'm given for missions, and I am not telling you, to the common person in the world would say, "You're an idiot."
Yeah, amen.
But I know what God has done in the past, and he keeps extending me. I know he'll provide for me in the future.
Amen.
See, unbelief, when it's willful, you'll find the Lord just leaving you to your own devices. But I'm hoping this group tonight is not willful. You've heard enough. It's time to kick off the doubts and trust God. There was one where a man asked for the Lord to heal his daughter, and Jesus said, "Do you believe?" He said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And that's what we need from God tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you.